Hello. Welcome to Exploring the Divine Feminine. I'm your host, Ramona Sitaway, and this is episode number 3. We discuss all things related to the feminine divine, mostly within the context of the restored Church of Jesus Christ. So let's dive in. So today I wanted to discuss the patriarchal order. There's been a lot of misunderstanding about what this really is, even within the church, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we'll talk about a little bit about what it is and what it is not. I'll be taking a lot from my book, We Are Adam, The Partnership of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and What It Means for You. It is available on Cedar Fort and on Amazon and on Kindle. I will let you know when it comes out on Audible for those who prefer to listen in the car or while they're doing other things. So it will be out shortly soon on that. I'll be discussing chapter 14. That's where I go into the patriarchal order mostly. And I think everybody has heard of patriarch and patriarchal. If we're talking about just the person on the street, then when you think about the patriarch, a lot of people have a negative connotation of this because they think of a patriarchal society where the men are in charge and in their minds, more often than not, are they disregard the majority of the rights of women and children. And I do agree that there are some patriarchal societies even today in different countries, and there may be even in the United States where I'm recording from. And there was definitely those type of societies in the Old Testament times. But the patriarchal order that I'll be discussing today is within the context of the church and the temple. And Lynn A. McKinley wrote, "The highest order of the Melchizedek priesthood is patriarchal authority. The order was divinely established with Father Adam and Mother Eve." And that is a really important point that we need to remember as we discuss this today. And he continues on, "They are the fount and progenitors of all living, and they will appear at the culmination of Earth's history at the head of the whole sealed family of the redeemed." That's kind of the focal point of today's discussion, is that the patriarchal order is and involves Father Adam and Mother Eve, and that they are both head of the whole sealed family. So with that template, we've talked about both husband and wife, mother and father, they're both the head. It is a mantle that rests on both of them. For those who are single parents, this is always a much more challenging situation. We understand this. And one of the things that I truly believe in is compensatory blessings. And as you rely on the Savior Jesus Christ, as you stay on the covenant path, you will find compensatory blessings from the Lord to guide you daily and hourly and minute by minute as you need it or as you desire it. I have felt those compensatory blessings in my life, even though I have not been a single parent. But in other areas of my life where I have had delayed blessings, and the Lord is always mindful of us, and he recognizes when we have challenges and the extra help that we need based on those delayed blessings. So one of the things that we talk about to clear up this confusion is to recognize the difference between a patriarchal order and a patriarchal theocracy. So Ezra Taft Benson, he explained, he's passed away, that the order of priesthood spoken of in the scriptures is sometimes referred to as the patriarchal order because it, meaning the priesthood, came down from father to son. And that's the way it was passed down in the past, especially Old Testament and the New Testament, is this was the way that the priesthood lineage was passed, was father to son. But, he continues, but this order is otherwise described in modern Revelation, so in today's day, as an order of family government where a man and a woman enter into a covenant with God, just as Adam and Eve, to be sealed for eternity. So, I'll continue with that quote. Have posterity and to do the will and work of God throughout their mortality. Close quote. So, the patriarchal order, as described in modern Revelation, as we have had clarification of the priesthood and continued restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ, it refers to temple marriage in the sense of being married for time and all eternity in the temple. And that is when a man and a woman enter into this highest priesthood, the patriarchal order, together. So all of the ancient patriarchs, they were high priests. So in the Old Testament times, the direction of the church in those days was by patriarchs because it was more of a patriarchal theocracy. It ruled not only their families, but their societies. And if we, as we go through in discussing today's difference, we talked earlier at the beginning of this discussion about a patriarchal theocracy where there was very little to hardly any separation of church and state. And we see that in some countries that are heavily religion mandated for their private and personal lives, businesses, and everything like that. The portion of the priesthood that is required to seal marriages for time and eternity in our temples today to establish the revealed patriarchal order, we just need to remember that it refers to a family government that we'll talk about. And the family government is very different than the church government. So the priesthood in the home, when we talk about, we often refer to it as presiding. We know from the proclamation to the family and other places that men have been assigned and agreed to that duty and that privilege of presiding in the home. We've discussed before that Boyd K. Packer and other apostles have specifically said that presiding in the home is very different than presiding in the church. The church is hierarchical, meaning you always have somebody above you and somebody below you that you're either giving direction to or receiving direction from. And if you've been to a Latter-day Saint service, you know that the bishop is the one that presides at the meeting unless there is somebody that is on a higher scale of the hierarchy, such as a state president or area authority, etc., then they preside. That means that they are responsible for that meeting. They're responsible for the outcome. They're accountable to what happens and the state that it remains in. And but in the family, that's way different. Men are not presiding in the same way. So when we talk about a man presiding in the home, that's referring to his priesthood that he has been ordained to. So he presides with the priesthood, but that doesn't mean he's the head of. So because both couples, since they are both entered into the patriarchal order of the Holy Temple, so they are both entered into this priesthood, that they are both the head, they're both partners, equal partners. There's no pilot, co-pilot, there's no president, vice president. They are both the head, they're equal, and they work together. They have distinguishing responsibilities that are meant to work together to be complementary to each other. So one of the first necessary step in establishing an eternal family in which both husband and wife hold priesthood responsibility for their posterity. So once again, a man is presiding with his Melchizedek priesthood in the home, but they both are the head of the home. And we'll talk in another podcast episode about specifically about presiding and what that means in our modern day. And we'll even talk to a few couples, or at least one couple, to talk about how they preside, what they envision presiding in their home means, and what it looks like. So the patriarchal order is the foundation of an eternal family organization. This is where it begins, and this is where a continuation of lives, as it's referred to in the DNC 132. And Lynn A. McKinley, when just briefly as we talk about men presiding in the context of the home, he said that to Latter-day Saints, where we understand the revealed we have a revealed understanding of the patriarchal order of the priesthood, it's an organizing power of a celestial family life, and it's the ideal form of government. Government of family with a mother and father. It was divinely established with Father Adam and Mother Eve. And I like to kind of think that a lot of the times for us to understand and explain certain concepts, I sense that we reverse engineer. So we tend to look at what we know today, like a mother and father in the home. And then we tend to reverse engineer that and think, okay, this is the way it is with Heavenly Mother and Heavenly Father. Now, sometimes that's great. Sometimes if we're relying on the culture of the day, it can cause people to stumble, especially the sisters in the gospel, in the church, because even the day that I was growing up, it was much different. And men did have a lot more power. They had a lot more, I don't think women were used as much in the sense of leading and helping with, I know they didn't with ward councils within the family government. It was very unbalanced, extremely unbalanced. And so I like the restoration that is going on, the clarification, so that we have a much more balanced view, much more balanced power within the family structure, within marriage. I think marriages are so much happier and they can go so much farther. Sometimes with some couples, it's a little bit slower in the sense of you might have to take one step back in order to take two steps forward. So it may seem slower until you get a consensus, a unity of decisions, of goals, of principles. But boy, once you do, it's zoom. You're like 0 to 100. So I like the balance that we have now. And it takes two righteous individuals to enter into this highest order of the Melchizedek priesthood, which we call the patriarchal order or the new and everlasting covenant or temple marriage. So all three of those are interchangeable in the context of the temple, in the context of our understanding of revealed, of new revelation of, I don't know how many of the last, probably since Joseph Smith. So Valerie Kastler, who I've quoted before, she is a professor at College Station and she articulated it this way. She said, we become a faith community of priests and priestesses. Then, and when united in the new and everlasting covenant of marriage, i.e. patriarchal order, Men and women together hold the fullness of the priesthood. It's capital P, signifying more than the male-only priesthood. And this is just another way of articulating it. It's not new doctrine or changing any doctrine. It's just a way of visualizing how we work within the priesthood, especially as women. Wendy Ulrich, when she spoke at a Fair Mormon conference back in 2014, she talked about how in her mind that giving birth is one way that covenant women participate in the priesthood power of binding on earth what shall be bound in heaven and acting in the earth for the salvation of the human family, close quote. So I like that, even though it's not been specifically articulated that way by the brethren, it just feels true to me. It could not be any other way, because women, sisters in the gospel, we bind relationships together. And what more beautiful way than having children? And that, especially if we've been married in the temple, we've been sealed with our spouse in the new and everlasting covenant, all of those children are bound to us by that priesthood power, which the man and woman have been sealed together and which they both participate in. And I spoke about this in the book, and it's about how a priestess, the woman, gives birth. She's participating in a priesthood ordinance by giving birth, and the man, the priest, has to stand aside, almost helpless, just waiting and doing his best, being a support. And then when comes time for that living covenant for that child for that child to participate in the baptism, right? Then at that time, the priestess stands aside and gives her love, prayers, and support towards the priest, who now engages his priesthood in that covenant of baptism. So that's just an example of how both parents work together within the context of the patriarchal order of that Melchizedek priesthood. One, the patriarchal order is a heavenly family order. And this is something that, in the premortal life, we all existed in a heavenly family with a heavenly father, a heavenly mother. We know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is our spiritual sibling. And when we take upon us our covenants, we enter into an adoption to where he then becomes our father, so that we can inherit all those things that he has inherited from his father. Just in the basis of a family government, that's how it's organized, and that's how it's organized now. I know that there are different ways that families are organized, in the sense of grandparents maybe raising children, or children taking care of grandparents or parents, or a single mother, a single father. It looks differently, but the covenant path is the same for everybody. And we just need to get on and stay on that covenant path. And no matter what our current family looks like, or what it may look like in the future, we will eventually have all of those blessings that have been suspended temporarily. Just remember, everything's temporary, that we will receive those blessings. We just stay on that covenant path, be obedient, and stay true to our covenants. And one of the things we need to remember about a husband and wife being equal, that we do need to be united. The husband and wife, the mother and father, need to be united in obedient love. Because if they are not one, they are not of the Lord. The Lord is not, you know, it's been said he is not a God of confusion or of disorder. He is a God of order and a God of unity. And that's the whole purpose of the atonement, is to bring all those things that are scattered and broken, separated into one, one with him and one with Heavenly Father. And we are to be one as spouses and to unite ourselves together as our family government and become one, not only individually, like me as a person, as a woman, as a sister, united with Christ, but also with my spouse, the two of us together as a head of our home, united with him within that family government. That we are nothing less than a family government that's patterned after a heavenly one, a divine one. And what better form of government or template do we have or need other than that heavenly one? It brings us incredible power. Even if we make mistakes, we just keep going. We repent, we seek and give forgiveness to our family members, to our spouses, but we hold on to the template. It doesn't mean that template is wrong or bad, or doesn't mean the template's broken, even if we struggle within our family units. We've talked about how the patriarchal order with some individuals and cultures have mistaken it for a patriarchal leadership, male-only leadership, while in the family unit, that's not the case. And that we have that from modern-day revelation. It comes from prophets. If we're talking about the family government, the patriarch is the husband and the matriarch is the wife, the mother. So the patriarchal order, celestial marriage, or the new and everlasting covenant, is the fullness of the Melchizedek priesthood and can be only be entered into by both the man and the woman. So in a family government, there can't be patriarchs without matriarchs, fathers without mothers. Like I said, sometimes if what you're experiencing right now is not having a partner with you, that's only a temporary suspended blessing. You will have all of those blessings restored unto you if you stay on the covenant path. But in the meantime, you will find amazing compensatory blessings as you are continuing on that path. We know that Adam and Eve, they both presided over their posterity as the head. Adam presided over his posterity with his Melchizedek priesthood, but they both taught the gospel as intelligent and equal partners. And we have direction, we have examples in the scriptures where often God made his will known not through the patriarch, but through the matriarch. And there's a lot of examples. I give those in my book, of especially in the Old Testament, of where it was the matriarch who received guidance, direction from the Lord. And she went to her husband, the patriarch, and he listened to her. And they followed that counsel because they knew it wasn't, that it was coming from the Lord. They trusted each other. And they were both willing to be obedient to the Lord. So celestial marriage is labeled as the patriarchal order or the new and everlasting covenant, not to designate the male as the one in charge, but because it requires priesthood power to make the sealing effective, valid, and binding. That's why we refer to it as the patriarchal order. Both man and woman enter into it. The man must have been ordained to the priesthood, the Aaronic first, and then the Melchizedek, and all the way through. And it's interesting that the female does not. She does not need to be ordained, but yet she can enter into this order with her spouse and receive all of those blessings, all of that power that is necessary for her to finish her mission on the earth, to finish the what the Lord has for her to do, and to have that power to be a co-equal, a co-head with the man, with the husband, with the father over their posterity. It's an incredible, incredible power. We understand that husbands and wives, with all of this knowledge, that they should counsel together in all of the decisions that are related to communication, activities in the family, the rearing and disciplining of children. It could be food storage and other aspects of family welfare, the finances, work and career decisions for either one, family work responsibilities, recreation, you name it, any other decisions that affect their bond with each other or that affect the family as a whole. And a lot of the times, I think if you do this correctly, if you say a prayer beforehand, and as time goes on with your experience together as a couple, as spouses, as partners, it goes by much faster. And I think when you both have an eye single to the glory of God, an eye single to the growth and the happiness and the progress of your family, that a lot of these decisions won't take as much time, won't be as difficult or as challenging as you think they will. So I highly recommend that every day that you say a prayer with your partner, with your spouse, if you're single, then that prayer becomes even more important. And depending on the ages of your children, they may, you're going to want to have a family council with them, depending on the subject matter, of course, but the husband and wife together, that is the executive council that works together, that you are in charge. That is it for today. I am so grateful that you joined me. Please don't hesitate to contact me via my website, RamonaSitaway.com, if you have any questions or comments. And I think that the patriarchal order, this new and everlasting covenant, this priesthood ordinance, is amazing. It's powerful. It's a path that we want all of our brothers and sisters to eventually get on. It's one that we want to get on and stay on. It's not the end of things. It's just the beginning. And I'm so grateful that we have this restored gospel in these latter days and for those blessings that come into my life because of it. I'm extremely grateful. So remember, new podcasts are every Friday morning, 10 a.m. sharp. Sisters and brothers, it's our time. We are finally emerging from the wilderness to a better understanding of our divine purpose, mission, and destiny. Thank you for joining me. Until next time.